Have your Bibles. I want you to turn with me tonight to the book of Zechariah, chapter 4. People have quoted this scripture and talked about it, but I felt like it was something I need to speak on tonight. And I want God to bless you. If you're here tonight and you're discouraged, you need to understand that's not of God. God is not the author of discouragement. You say, well, I've got things I want to do. Let me tell you something, church. I remember when I started out evangelizing, it used to get discouraging when I'd be preaching revivals, doing everything I could, and they would point somebody from out of state as a state evangelist and leave me sitting out there without it. I know some of y'all may not understand that, but back in the day, being a state evangelist meant something when you walked through the count, the camp meeting, because people wanted to book them before they did anybody else. And they would bring guys in from out of state, make up state evangelists, and me sitting there going, I must be chopped liver. Glory. It gets discouraging. It gets discouraging when you show up at camp meeting and you got a guy that's supposed to be your friend. Notice how I said that. Supposed to be your friend, who is going around meeting preachers, and he's been able to get in the office and get your schedule. He's going to preachers and saying, he's taking a church. He said for me to see you about booking that week you had him booked for. And they're booking this guy. And I show up at camp meeting with nothing. You say, well, now, is that discouraging? Bad enough, I went back to the room where they're staying with a fellow, and I said, I'm going to tell you what. Y'all can have this thing you call preaching. I've been to go back to work. Hello? And I'm in it. I was so discouraged, I stayed home at night and watched the Braves play. And y'all understand something, back in the 70s, that was a waste of time. Glory. Braves was like Michael Jackson. They had a glove on one hand, nobody knew why. Glory. Amen. And you know, when you get discouraged, you can find God in all kinds of stuff, even if he ain't there. Notice how I said that, because we get to looking for God. Anything we think is a light in the direction we want to go, that's got to be God, because that's where we want to go. And it's not the fact that maybe God's trying to teach us something and work in us and help us. I go to pick Frida up, go to the Louisiana camp meeting. I'm going to Tuscaloosa and pull in. I stop at the mall, went in to get something to drink, run into my former boss. Only now he works with National Laboratories out of Memphis, Tennessee, and he offers me a job. And I'm like, I know God's in this. I can get this job, make this money, be financially sound, help some of these little churches and preach for them and not charge them nothing. And I knew I wasn't ever going to preach. I was just going to make money. So my mind was set on, and I was blaming God for it. Hello? Because I was ready to give up on this other. But it wasn't God's will. I end up at the camp meeting with my new Swedish knit suit on. I remember telling Frida when I put it on, I said, I don't care if Floyd Lahan prays for me, I ain't falling down. I am not getting this suit dirty for nobody. I went to the camp meeting with an attitude. Come on, church. Y'all ain't the only one show up church. Bless God, I'm not getting in this tonight. We're going to get through quick. I'm going home. They got a good show coming on tonight. Y'all may not believe this. I had a dude one time told me he'd give me $100 at the end of the week if I could get him out by 9 o'clock, because they had Jake and the Fat Man on every night at 9 o'clock. Glory. He did. He wanted to get home and watch it. He tore the $100 bill, gave me half up, kept the other half. I got him out about 9:30 every night, and he said, you don't get that money. I said, I don't need your half. I got the side with a seal on it. I got the $100. You got a piece of paper. He looked and he said, you sorry, preacher, here, take this. He gave me the other half. Glory. I got to that camp meeting that night, and I'm sitting back there with my attitude. Floyd Lahan starts preaching, and he's talking about things that abide. Right in the middle of his stinking sermon, he gets off in my business. I'm talking about he could have been selling Mutual Omaha insurance, making $150,000 a year, but had to decide, was he going to serve God or sell out to the devil? Then he stopped and he said, okay, brother, stand up. Had Curtis Silcock stand up. Curtis just a few rows down from me and Frida, a few seats down. He said, "Brother, you could have been a Rhodes Scholar. You turned it down to be a pastor. You ever thought about that?" And he said, "Brother, I thank God for what God's doing." He falls out. I caught him as he laid down on the floor. I mean, Floyd didn't even touch him. He just done like that. He said, "Brother Beatty, stand up." David Beatty stood up on the other end. David taught his cousins how to play the piano. Y'all know Mickey Gilley and Jerry Lee Lewis and Jimmy Swaggart. Well, he didn't teach them everything he knows. And he's wrote a couple of songs that made it big, and he could have been big time. Jimmy Swaggart offered him a chance to come to work for him. He turned all of it down, pastored the church for 30-something years in Baton Rouge, and every time it got up around 90 or 100, the army would move people off Fort Polk, and he'd lose half his congregation, have to build them back. He just kept staying with it. He said, "Brother, have you ever regretted staying at that church when you could have gone big?" He said, "Brother, once you've been to Nineveh, you don't think about Tarsus." Glory. Holy Ghost hit that dude. He hit the floor. Brother Lahan said, "I want everybody to stand up. Everybody needs God. Run to the altar." And they all went, and I'm standing there. He said, "I want everybody to come pray for him." And I went and prayed for him like everybody else did. And I'm down there, God touching me too. I don't want nobody to know it's me. And a cold chill hit me, and I spun around. Floyd Lahan picks me out of the crowd, and you're standing there, and I spin around, and he said, "Choose you this day who you're going to serve." And I saw his Bible get about right there, and I don't remember nothing until after church. I got up off the floor, and I've cleaned a 20-foot section of cement with my Swedish knit suit, and it's brown instead of beige now. I got mud all over my face, and Ken Hall comes over, and he said, "We pay a custodian to do that, Struve." Glory. I remember telling Frida all the way down there, "You ain't never going to have to work again." She looked at me and she said, "I can't quit my job, can I?" I said, "You better not. We're going to get hungry." Glory. But church, the reality is God took care of my discouragement that night. Amen. Begin to show me it wasn't my job to do what I needed done. It was just to trust in him. And church, some of you have been trying to do it yourself, and you need to understand you're never going to accomplish what God wants in your life. You've got to let God do it. And instead of trying to accomplish it in yourself, you've got to quit holding on to the rope. Like, hang on to the rope. No, turn it loose. If you're trusting God, you don't need a rope. It's not an accident that the next morning the general overseer of the Church of God stood up and called me by name and said, if I was having a revival, that's the first evangelist I'd have in my pulpit. I had preachers throwing cards at me. "Hey, anytime you got open it, I want you to come preach for me." They didn't know me from nobody. But the general overseer said he had used me and had made it. Then he hugs my neck and Frida's neck, bypasses dignitaries. And he looked at me and he sees my ear and he said, "If you don't have a full schedule, call me. God said I'd take care of you for the next 2 years." I don't know if y'all understand that, but he just guaranteed me 2 years of preaching. And he didn't have to worry about it, because when I got through at camp meeting, I had over a year and a half solid that I didn't have to worry about it. And the rest of the time I was an evangelist, I never had to worry about where I was preaching or what I was doing, because God took care of it. See, some of us need to hear this tonight. Zechariah 4:6. "And then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saying, the Lord of hosts." Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We ask God you touch this house with the power of your divine grace. For it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Would you give the Lord another hand clap of praise tonight? Zerubbabel is the governor of Jerusalem. He's faced with what seemed to be an impossible task. God has spoken to his heart and told him to rebuild the temple. It's one of the things to build one time, but it's another to rebuild something. It's easy to get started, but it's hard sometimes to revive. Hello? So what are you talking about? It's easy to get a experience with God, but when that experience gets cold, it's hard to admit it, and it's hard to revive it. It's hard to get after it. That's why Timothy warns, and Paul told Timothy, he said, "Wherefore I put thee in remembrance that thou should stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of the hands. For God had not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Do you hear what he said? Stir up that gift that's in you and realize the fear you have is not not of God. Amen. Realize that the uneasiness you got is not of God. He's given you a sound mind. You don't have to go to psychiatrists and walk around depressed with anxiety all the time. What you need to do is understand I got a God that's in charge of everything. And if I stir up that gift of faith and love and power in me, I'm an overcomer through the power of God's love. Amen. Somebody said, I was preaching this morning, I got to hollering. Lord, I didn't realize that. I never forget one time at Northport, we carried some kids home. It was over in West End. I went by the next week, was checking to see if I could pick them up on the bus. This lady said, I'm a little disturbed. My daughter went to church last week, come home telling me about the service, because once a week we would take them to the sanctuary. And this little girl went home. Mom said, how was church? She said, that preacher got mad. Said he turned blue face and started yelling at them people and pointing his finger. Said, wasn't long. Some of them jumped up and yelled back at him. Said, I thought this was just going to have a knockdown drag out right in the middle of that thing. Glory. I told the mother, I said, now we're Pentecostal. He was just preaching and they were amening him. And I said, why don't you come to church and you'll see what I'm talking about. Amen. But church, that's the way some people describe our services. So I'm going to do my part of yelling. Y'all yell back every once in a while. We'll be in good shape. Amen. Zerubbabel realized that opposition came. When you remember, Nehemiah learned about how to build the temple. When he went back to build it, he got so bad, he told the people, keep weapons in your hands because they're going to attack us while we're doing this. And he understands it's discouraged. Read Nehemiah 1. He waits on them to bring a report about the rebuilding of the temple. And they come back and tell him, said, the walls are still broken down. The gates have been burned with fire. You know what he said? He said, basically, they ain't done nothing. You want to get discouraged, think something's going on, find out it ain't happening. Come on, church. Amen. Y'all ever expected a good answer and got a bad one? I remember one time I was trying to borrow money from a bank, and the guy come out and said, look, son, I'm sorry, but you don't make enough money to borrow our money. I said, well, that's stupid. If I made enough money, I wouldn't be sitting here trying to borrow your money. You know, he shook my hand and said, you know, that makes more sense than what I said. We're going to loan you the money. And I never had any problem getting money from him after that. Amen. But the reality is, that's the way it happens. Sometimes we expect one answer, we get another. Sometimes we get a discouraging answer from a doctor. Sometimes a discouraging answer about our finances. Amen. You may walk in one morning and find out your job just got blowed out from under you. But the thing you got to realize, opposition is always going to come from the devil when you're trying to live for God, trying to work for God, trying to serve God. But the truth of the matter is, you need to understand God is still on your side. And if God be for you, who can come against you? I got a God that can make things happen when it seems like nobody else can. Could you say amen? Amen. Listen, the people surrounding the city were trying to do what? To discourage the people, to frighten them. The devil will try to frighten us because he wants to devour and distract us. Amen. This is happening today. The devil knows that he can discourage us. Then we're useless to God's kingdom. If Satan can get us discouraged, we quit trying. We want to give up. He loves it when we make statements like, well, I'm through, I'm done, I'm not going to do this anymore. Because he realizes, I got him going downhill. Ain't going to take a whole lot for me to wipe him out. What he don't like is when you come at him and they're going, take your best shot, dude. I'm still here, and I'm going to be here tomorrow, and I'm going to be here the next day, and I'll be here the day after that. And you might as well go find somebody that's going to quit, because I am not afraid of you, because every day of my life, there are 365 scriptures from Genesis to Revelation said, fear not or be not afraid. I got one for every day that said, I got no reason to live in fear. I got no reason to worry about you, because my God is for me, and my God is going to fight my battles, and my God's going to help me win. Would you say amen? Amen? Fear is not from God. Amen. What did Paul tell Timothy? For God's not given you a spirit of fear, but of joy and of peace and of a sound mind. You know, there was a millionaire back in the 60s when that was big money. We didn't know what trillionaires were then, or billionaires wasn't a big bunch, but millionaires was unusual people because they had a lot more money than the rest of us. Smile. That was back when $1 million was $1 million. You know, you could have a thousandaire back then. They had cash. Glory. Oh, some of y'all don't know what I'm talking about. Glory. I'm talking about when gas was 30-something cents or less a gallon. Cokes were a dime. Candy bars was a nickel. Don't look at me like I'm Methuselah. That's back in the 60s. That's before most of y'all was born. I understand that. Glory. But this guy wanted a picture painted. And he said, I will give anybody $1 million to paint a picture that gives me the greatest idea of what real peace is all about. This guy come in with this beautiful cabin in the middle of a panoramic scene of the West. Had a little cabin sitting there with smoke twirling out and kids playing in the yard. And he said, well, that's good, but that's really not what I look as peace. Another guy had a picture. It was actually something like a Thomas Kincaid thing with the brook running in front of the house and people playing and everything looking so wonderful. That didn't work. And he went through several. Finally, comes this one guy. And this horrible storm is crashing onto the waves and hitting the rocks and water's going everywhere and lightning's flashing and all this. And he looked at the guy and said, dude, this is nothing like what I asked for. He said, oh, yeah, that's real peace. He said, peace? That's a storm. He said, look on the rock. There's a little bird sitting there whistling. Glory. He said, now that's peace. When the world's crashing in around you and you still got a song, that's the kind of, and the guy gave him $1 million and hung it on his wall. You say, preacher, what are you talking about? Anybody can sing a song and have a wonderful thing when everything's going all right and when everything's just wonderful around you. But when the world crashes in and everything's falling in and fear ought to be controlling your life, if you can remember, I still have a God who can give me a song in the midnight hour that I can sing. We've got power that makes us an overcomer. Could you say amen? He'll not only try to frighten us, but he'll also try to steal our joy. Finally, we notice that he is distracting us. He tries to take those things that we think are precious to us. Notice what the Bible said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 32. For after these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you have need of these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought of the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for its things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. And what he said, quit worrying about tomorrow. Some of y'all, oh, I don't know if I'm going to make it tomorrow. Who cares? You got today. Glory. When the morning comes, say, hey, today is a day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And don't worry about tomorrow, because you ever notice something tomorrow never gets here? Because by the time it shows up, it's today. Glory. Simple theology. Glory. Amen. Yet Zerubbabel was caught in the trap of discouragement. Things were not going as he expected. Things were not moving as fast. As a matter of fact, they had come to a standstill. People left work at the temple and began to work on their houses. He's praying, God, help me. They give up. One of the greatest discouragements to anybody in the church world is to watch people who don't care about what's going on in the house of God. Y'all, man, believers, we got a lot of folks. As long as they come here Sunday morning, Sunday night, or Wednesday night, and the church is here, they don't care. It's not important to them. They just want a place to run to when they need something. But church, listen. God sends Zerubbabel a message through another prophet. Not just Zacharias talking to him. Church, have you ever noticed the Old Testament prophets, especially the minor ones, they were all in dealing with the same thing. Ezra was tied up to build the temple. Nehemiah was praying about rebuilding the temple. Haggai's prophesying about what's going to happen while they're rebuilding the temple. Zacharias prophesying about it. Ezra was talking about how hard it was to rebuild the temple. I mean, they had people over there tell them, that's not the right cornerstone. You're not at the right place. I remember with all the thing I was when I was a kid, it was right over here. It wasn't right there. Oh, that's not the Holy Ghost. I remember when I was a kid, this is the way it happened. Could it be that when you was a kid, God done something and he's doing a new thing? Amen. And maybe it's not going to be just like it was when Granny's favorite song was being sung and somebody's going to get something and you ain't got a clue how it happened. Come on, church, smile at me. I've been around this for 40-something years and I've seen people get the Holy Ghost and I ain't got a clue how it happened. I've seen people get blessed. I've seen God move and it's never been the same twice. You say, what are you getting at? We need to quit hanging on to what we think is right and let go and trust that I got a God who can do things if we'll let him go. As Ezra's over there. They're arguing. This is in the book of Ezra, and this is exactly what the Lord told Ezra. The Lord said, Ezra, just build it. In other words, quit worrying about if you got the right corner. I just want a temple built. Hello? Glory. Haggai chapter 1, verse 2. See if this doesn't line up with what's going on around us. Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, this people say the time is not come, the time the Lord's house should be built. I mean, all the time, brother, the church is falling apart. We can't build a church anymore. Well, how come folks are building churches? How come people are getting saved some places and not others? Because some folks still believe God is God, is still on the throne, and still breaks bondage and sets people free. And as long as they do, they're going to see people saved. The problem is we got folks that's done got the mentality we're leaving, so why keep working? Because until he comes, we got to be on the job. And there's a world around us going to die and go to hell if we don't. Notice what he said. He said, is it time to come that we should build the house? Then came the word of the Lord unto Haggai the prophet, saying, you said, now, preacher, you can't tie this to Zerubbabel. If you'll go back and read the first verse, it says this message was to the governor of Jerusalem, which was Zerubbabel. Glory. It is time. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses and this house lie waste? Is it time for you to be blessed and brag about how much you got, and yet you're not doing nothing for the house of God? Hello? Amen. Isn't it amazing? I'm reading the Word of God, and some of y'all are already mad at me because you think I'm the one saying it. This is in the book. Now, therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. You've sown much, and you bring in little. You eat, but you have not enough. You drink, but you're not filled with drink. Ye clothe ye, but there is none worn. And he that earneth wages to put in a bag with holes. Huh? Isn't that kind of like our day? We eat, but we're always hungry. Come on, church, don't look at me like that. I don't know that I've ever been fooled. I just stop eating it once while I rest my jaws for the next set. Glory. And some of y'all just as bad, because it might not be food, but there's other things you can't consume enough of it. And we're all caught up in this thing of keeping up with people. We got to have a certain kind of clothes. And I'll never forget, Alex took me down to the mall one day and said, Dad, I got to have some of these shoes. I asked the guys, how much are them shoes? And this was 1980 or 1990 something. He said, they're $180. I said, well, I'll tell you what you got to have, son. He said, what's that? I said, financing, because I can't pay for them things. You're going to have to get them financed to pay the payments. Glory. Hello? I asked the guy, I said, you got FHA financing? Because this kid needs it. I came to Walmart and got him some buddies. Hello? Bought him some knockoffs, look like them things. Smile. But every one of us had the same problem. We was in high school. Everybody had eyes odd, and we thought we had to have eyes odd. If we couldn't get eyes odd, we wasn't fitting in. I had a cousin had eyes odd sweaters, a couple of them, and he was going to get rid of them, and I cut the little alligator off. I put some Velcro on them, and everything I had became eyes odd. I had eyes odd jogging shorts for PE. I'd pop that thing on there. I got eyes odd, boys. Glory. Somebody say, preacher, you're crazy. It's not no different than what some of y'all do. Try to keep up with somebody and put on airs and act like you're something you're not. Amen. And you're never happy with what you got. Glory. I always know somebody got something more than you got and you want, and you end up getting in trouble because you try to buy stuff you don't need. And no matter how much you make, what's happening to it? You put it in a purse, but there's a hole in it because every time you look, it's empty. Isn't that what he's really describing to those people? You've got nothing, even though God's blessed you, because you're wasting it trying to keep up with the world when you're not supposed to be a part of the world. Hello? He said in the 7th verse, thus saith the Lord, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain. Bring wood, build the house, and I will take pleasure in it, and I will be glorified, saith the Lord. Ye looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow it up. Why, saith the Lord of hosts? Because mine house that is waste, and ye run every man unto his own house. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? We're so busy building ourselves up. We ain't got time to work for God. And that's what it's all about. We've got to quit worrying about what we got. Isn't that what it said? Take no thought of what you're going to wear, how you're going to live. Just serve me and I'll take care of you, church. When we forget about what we don't have and start thinking about all those people that are worse off than us, who don't have God, who don't know what he's all about, and we start serving them, I got a God that will begin to open up the windows of heaven and begin to bless you and begin to pour out into you and begin to move in you and begin to give you things that God wants you to have. I love to read past the passages over in there where it talks about the power of God. Listen to Zechariah chapter 4, verse 7. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and thou shalt bring forth the headstone, and thereof the shouting, crying, grace, grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hand of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of the house, and the hand shall also finish it. And thou shalt know that the Lord of hosts hath sent me unto you. For thou hast despised the day of small things, for they shall rejoice, and shall see the plummet in the hand of Zerubbabel. And those seven, they are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro on the earth. And then answered I and said unto him, what are these two olive trees upon the right side of the candlestick and upon the left thereof? And I answered and said unto him, what be these two olive branches which through the two golden pipes empty the golden oil out of themselves? And he answered and said, knowest thou not that these be, as said, no, my Lord? Then said he, these are the two anointed ones that stand by the Lord, the whole earth. He said, that's my son and that's my spirit that's helping me control your life. And if you'll sell out to my son and you'll let the anointing of my spirit into your life, it will begin to bless you and you will accomplish everything I've asked you to do. What she's saying, let go of everything that's binded you down and realize if you serve me to the fullest and let everything go in my life, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And it is not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, saith God. Glory. Amen. Say, preacher, you believe that? This is what the Lord wants to do in your life. He wants to prove himself to you. First by salvation, but even more by miracles and the works around you. Listen, Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. Bring your tithes into the storehouse, that they may be meat to mine house. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out blessings, that it shall not be room enough to receive. And then I will rebuke the devourer for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time of the field, saith the Lord of hosts. Well, preacher, do you believe that's going to happen? Yes, I do. I believe when we let go and let God, we can rebuild everything God's ever had in the house of God. I don't think we have to spend our time talking about what used to be in Pentecostal churches. I'm sick of folk telling me about how they used to shout and they used to run the aisle. Why ain't you still doing it? Well, I'm too old. Hogwash. Glory. My Uncle Clyde Hams, 80-something years old, and he got up one night and he said, I remember when I was a teenager preaching over Mississippi in a tent. I'd run up the tent pole. He said, I can't run up it now, but I can walk back there and look up it. Glory. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what are you getting at? You don't have to sit there and talk about what you can't do. You can let God bless you. You can worship him. You can release to him. Come on, church. Amen. Haggai chapter 2, verse 6. For thus saith the Lord of hosts, yet once is a little while, and I will shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land, and I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill the house with glory, saith the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, the gold is mine, saith the Lord of hosts. The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former, saith the Lord of hosts, and the place which I give peace shall the Lord of hosts. What are you saying? He said, Ezra, build it, and I'll fill it with my glory. It's time some of us made up our mind. It's not yesterday. God's still on the throne right now, and that same God can move every enemy that is in front of me and bring victory. I got to bring this to a close. three areas I want to let you deal with. Some of you are dealing with circumstances in your life that are almost out of control. You see no hope. The only light at the end of the tunnel is a train. You're discouraged. You don't know which way to turn. To be honest, you've tried all you can try, done all you can do, and it's time to give it to the Lord. It is not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Secondly, some of you made decisions to give it to the Lord. In your mind, you keep telling the Lord, it's out of my hands. It's out of my hands. But you keep putting your hands in it, trying to fix it. And you're really not letting go. You're not letting God take control. And because of that, you're messing everything up. Because it's never going to change while you're trying to fix it. Because it's not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. Finally, some of you need God to prove himself to you. There's nothing wrong with that as long as you're searching and open to what God wants to do in your life. It may not be what you want. It may be what he wants. But it's not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, saith God. Would you stand with me all over the house? Father, I trust you tonight. God, I believe tonight there are people under the sound of my voice that are great people of God. But discouragement and anxiety and fear has held them back from the power you want them to have. They're trying to rebuild and see things the way they used to be, but it's not happening, and they realize we're in the last day, and they're being convinced you don't work like you used to. God, I believe you right now that tonight you're going to open up the windows of heaven. You're going to pour out your anointing in this house. You're going to touch with your presence and with your power. God, have your way.